Welcome to Cruising Through Cinema. I am Dennis.
And I am the human head weighs 8 pounds dire.
Well, I've got questions and questions that could be explained, but hold on. I need to take off my Ambassador of Quan robe and, make a witty rejoinder that gets us back on track to this podcast. This is Cruising Through Cinema, the show where we go through a journey, and that journey is Tom Cruise filmography in chronological order because we are fans of the one, the only, Thomas Math Power the Fourth.
Cruise the Fourth. Thomas Math Power Cruise the Fourth.
I always mess that up.
This is our 30,000th show, and you're still getting it wrong.
I believe it's our 22nd episode. Our 22ndth episode.
22ndth.
Or maybe it's our 21st. I don't know. We can drink now. After 21, everybody knows you stop counting.
Right, yeah.
No, it's all downhill from there.
We're proverbially 29 forever.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, we watched... If you couldn't guess by Dyer's nickname there, we watched Jerry Maguire, directed by the one, the only Cameron Crowe, also known for directing other films such as The Crow, Singles, Almost Famous, and also Vanilla Sky, starring the one, only Thomas. Oh, he wrote it.
He didn't do The Crow, did he? I was just making a joke because his name was Cameron Crowe, so I was making fun of him.
No, he did not do The Crow. I'm confused. He directed this, but IMDb has him listed as writing all these films, not directing.
Maybe he did. Maybe he wrote and directed them.
He's an enigma wrapped in a riddle. That Cameron Crowe, that Wiley guy. This is the second part of the 1996 duology that was Mission Impossible and Jerry Maguire.
Yeah,
Tom Cruise had a powerful 1996. Where I feel like this is the start of modern Tom Cruise, if that makes sense.
Yeah, I would agree with that. Yeah,
like he's no longer the young, and he isn't in Mission Impossible, Mission Impossible. This feels so much newer than Mission Impossible.
It does.
And I think it's because of the editing. It just feels more like a modern film.
Don't forget the 1990 flip phones.
And there's not as much. Yeah. Well, and the other thing at Mission Impossible hurts it from an age standpoint is we're supposed to be impressed by these technological gadgets that we all have phones in our pocket now that do everything that was supposed to wow us in 1996.
Exactly.
So that's part of it. I've got a question about the goldfish.
Okay.
Two. Did he take one goldfish or two? Because I'm pretty sure that there is two goldfish in Renee Zellweger, the counter star.
She was okay. Before we get on that topic,
the little boy.
She was cute in this movie and like Bridget Jones' Diary and everything. She has become a walking billboard for plastic surgery failure since then.
I mean, she's always kind of had a weird look.
Yeah, but it's just been exacerbated since the plastic surgery.
There are several things about this film I still don't quite understand. For instance, I don't know, we're jumping around. Is that okay with you? I feel like the jump around
Absolutely.
Episode. I feel like a jumpy episode. the nanny. Chad the nanny. Played by Todd Luizio, the guy that's way too into jazz.
Total homo, right?
Was I supposed to... I was confused. Because at first said he was the co-parent. But then they referenced that the Renee Zellweger, Dorothy, references the fact that it's not her fault that the guy she fell in love with had to die on her after she got pregnant or whatever.
That's right. He did die.
Yeah, so... Chad the nanny, co-parent, or just weird gay friend?
I think it's a weird gay friend that, like, explained to the kid that...
Was this 1996, like, we can't really make fun of gays, and we don't know, we're just going to have a gay because we're trying to be a little artsy here and tell a drama story, but we're not going to, like, overtly say he's gay because that might scare away viewers? Is that what happened?
I think
is Jazz happened. Gay? Is the implication Jazz is gay? Because if Jazz is gay, I don't want to be straight.
I don't know.
Okay, so maybe I'm reading too deep into this. Is this film homophobic?
No.
Are you sure?
Pretty sure.
Because why they're afraid to say that he's gay?
But,
or is it progressive because they just didn't feel the need that they had to point it out?
I think it's the second option. I don't know.
I'm confused. Should we applaud this film or should we be ashamed that they had to like hide it by calling him a co-parent and have him like Jazz?
We applaud it because it got Tom Cruise an Oscar nomination.
Yeah, which do you think he deserved?
I don't think
this film was great.
Really? I loved it.
I mean, I enjoy it, but
I loved it.
We're kind of getting ahead of ourselves on the end.
We'll go more in depth. I'm a sucker for rom-coms, and this touched all my heartstrings during the time I watched
it. But there's not much calm. There's a little bit. You got the Show Me the Money, Ambassador Kwan. Say, I love black people, Jerry. I think it's important to note, you had never seen this film before.
You are correct. I had never seen this film until like a month and a half ago.
So, yes. So, one of my favorite, you know who my favorite actor is that's in this film? That's like a bit part?
Jay Moore.
No, he's not a bit part. And God, is there a more unlikable person that we've seen in a Tom Cruise movie to date than Bob Sugar?
No, Bob Sugar was an asshole.
Bob Sugar is the definition of a douchebag. No, I was going to say...
The quarterback.
No, the quarterback God, that, no, no. I don't like him at all.
Okay, anyway, sorry, continue.
The quarterback and his dad are tools.
Oh, absolutely.
No, Dickie Fox, Tom Cruise's mentor.
That's right, Dickie Fox.
I love him. The little interjections of his cruise that he his wisdom he gave Jerry Maguire.
Yeah, I do like Dickie Fox.
Yes, it was fun. But you know what's more alarming? Do you have the IMDb page pulled up?
No. Do I need to?
I want you to do that and tell me how you pronounce Dickie Fox's. Characters, the actor's last name.
All right, give me a second.
This film, I remember my parents had this and Mission Impossible on VHS, and I loved both of them. Loved both of them.
All right, let me go to the just actors.
The fact that we've got Cuba Gooding Jr.
Oh, wait, Kelly Preston's in this? Huh. You know who she was, right?
Yeah, that was his fiance. That just up knees him in the nuts.
But do you know who she was married to?
Tom Cruise.
No, John Travolta.
Oh, interesting.
That's your Scientology.
And I could have done without Bonnie Hunt. I wish somebody else played that. I'm not a Bonnie Hunt fan.
I forgot Jerry O'Connell was Frank Cushman. That's right. Wow, Jonathan Lipnicki had a glow up.
Huh. Mm-hmm.
Let's see.
Okay, keep scrolling. You're almost there. Jared Juzum. Or is it Juzum?
I think it's Juzum.
Is it a hard U or a soft U? Juzum?
Jared Juzum.
Jared Juzum, played by Dickie Fox.
Wait, Ingrid Beer's in this?
Yeah, she's part of the men hater club.
Yeah, it's all like divorced ladies meeting around.
Could you think of a more worse group of women to be around?
I would have hung myself.
Yeah. You had to
Glenn Frey?
Glenn Frey? What was he?
Yeah. He was Dennis Wilburn.
Who's Dennis Wilburn?
I don't know, but that's what he's listed as.
Is he near the top or near the bottom?
He's way after Jerry Juzum.
Oh, so I gotta say, like, view more. I don't see him. All cast and crew.
He's way down there.
Okay.
I'm on my. There's no way Drake Bell's in this movie.
Wait. Okay. Who am I looking for?
Glenn Frey.
Oh, that was Ari Spears. I couldn't put my finger on who the brother was.
Yeah.
His name is TP.
TP, yeah.
TP. TP Tidwell.
Yeah.
Oh, he plays the hanger-on brother so well.
Yeah, he does.
And I should say I have a sibling that you also know that would also be the, like, what? What'd I say?
Oh, 100%.
Wait. All right.
100%. I know who that sibling is.
So who? Okay. So is he above Aries Spears or below Aries Spears?
He's below Aries Spears.
Donald Logue.
He's like, I thought he was right there. Near.
Who am I looking for?
Glenn Frey.
Glenn Frey. Oh, he was the, yeah, he's definitely in it. He's one of the agents that says after he writes his, what she calls a memo and what he called his manifesto or whatever.
Because he got drunk.
Yeah, he's the one who says, how long you give him. And he says, I don't, but not until the end of the day.
Oh, yeah, but he,
he'll be gone by the end of the day or end of the week. Yeah,
he was the guitarist.
He's one of his agent buddies.
He's the guitarist for the Eagles.
Hmm.
Yeah.
That's right. The other thing, so he writes basically, and I love the nod of the agent being, the beginning of the movie is like iconic to me, where he's highlighting all these different talents that are going to need an agent. And there's the point guard from Indiana. That was cool. They show him playing basketball. It's stereotypical Indiana basketball, playing basketball at outside of a barn.
Yeah.
A red barn. But no, you get that. And then you get him talking about it, kind of wheeling and dealing. He's trying to lock up a deal with the number one draft pick for the NFL draft, which is fitting. Seeing that we're recording this on the 25th of April of the year of our Lord 2024, which is the NFL draft's opening round tonight.
Bum, 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 bum.
Man, 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 man. Bum, 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 bum.
This is Thursday Night Football.
Yes. Anyway, progressing here. He writes the manifesto on a laptop that is as thick as a phone book.
Yeah. Yeah, I remember that.
And I remember my grandpa having a laptop like that.
Yeah, that felt... I don't... Go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, I remember my grandpa had a laptop and I thought it was the coolest thing ever, the touchpad. Because I remember it was around the time that The World Is Not Enough came out, and he drives the car with the touchpad.
Yes.
And I remember playing with my grandpa's laptop and pretending I was controlling a car.
Yes.
Absolutely. Feeling like it was like just like the most amazing future tech of all time.
Yeah, absolutely.
I mean, touchpads still are magical.
They are.
There's just something about it. Like, you just drag your finger. It's just so tactile. But anyway. He writes a manifesto and he's like doing naked, or he's doing not naked. He's got his boxers on, but he's doing lunges in his boxers while drinking Budweiser. Is it Budweiser?
Yeah. I think so.
But they're like at the.
It's Bud Light.
Were they supposed to be like at the NFL Combine or something? I was confused. Like the whole company was like, they weren't at the draft because the draft hadn't happened yet. So it was like kind of media day. No, it was pre-draft. Like it was, but they were like at some sort of conference, and they're all there because what I remember him. There's different scenes there after he writes the manifesto, where I'm like, oh, I thought that was in the office, but it was in a hotel.
No, it was
lobby.
Like a hotel. Yeah,
yeah, but this I haven't seen this movie in probably 15 years. So I was a little fuzzy on. So I think I conflated that scene with the when he gets fired scene, and he goes back because Jay Moore, the douchebag himself, feels like he's too chicken shit to fire him in the office, so he fires him at basically O'Charlie's.
Yeah, and he goes, "Oh my god!" He goes, "You took me to a public place, so I wouldn't make a scene."
Yeah, and then he runs back, which. He runs back to call his clients.
So, but he got fired. So every job that I've ever been let go from, they would have
already disconnected his access. And
yeah.
He wouldn't have been allowed in the building.
HR would have been aware. He wouldn't have been able to work there until like 8 o'clock that night.
See, the thing is, this movie, the only critique I have of this movie, like it's fun. It's good, but it's trying to be like two things at once. And I feel like if it focused,
do sports agents have HR departments?
I'm sure they do.
But do they?
I mean, I feel like nowadays most agents don't work for like, they work for
themselves.
I feel like they're like kind of like attorneys where they only have like their own practice.
I feel like they are attorneys.
Well, at this point they are, but like this movie portrays it like it's like an everyman type of job. It's like a stockbroker, but with athletes is kind of how they portray it.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Because they kind of even have the like boiler room type setting with all the cubicles, and then the higher ups have their corner offices.
Yeah, that's right.
Which is not, I don't think, really how it works. But I don't know. I've never been a sports agent. But yeah, so he gets fired, and he's like, "Who's with me?" Because but we also forgot when we meet. Ray, which is that your Tom Cruiseverse? The fact the boy's name is Ray?
Nope.
Okay, so it's not a loosely veiled Rain Man connection.
Nope. It is a loosely veiled A Few Good Men connection.
Okay. I'll ponder that here. But yeah, so Renee Zellweger, aka Dorothy Boyd and her son. Dorothy is like, I was really inspired because she runs into Tom Cruise after they get back and are at the airport, and she's being a terrible mother and doesn't keep an eye on her son, who's literally giving people high fives on the luggage claim.
Yeah, he's riding around the luggage claim giving people high fives, and she loses him. And she's like, "Oh my,
she's
gone."
Yeah,
go ahead.
No, she's and like, she's too busy. Kid? She's too busy. Just gushing over Tom Cruise. Like, she's not portrayed as a very, like, independent woman in this film.
No.
Like, she's not independent. She has to live with her sister. She can't, like,
do you remember
get out of her, like, oh my god, this sports agent's talking to me. And
do you remember, I mean, we're jumping ahead, but when they get married and he's outside on the patio working with the laptop, which can't be connected to internet because there's no way a cord reaches that far back in 96.
Yeah, Wi-Fi is not a thing in 96.
Where he goes,
for those dozens of listeners out there, don't write to us. Don't let us know that the Wi-Fi was technically developed in the lab in 1992. Like, don't tell me that.
Actually, anyway, regardless.
My point is,
did you
Renee Zellweger, Dorothy Boyd did not have Wi-Fi at her house.
Right. Did you catch when he said where he had to go?
Indianapolis.
Yeah, Indiana. Yeah, he said he had to go to Indiana. I was like, he said
Indianapolis. Specifically, yeah. Indianapolis.
He did say Indianapolis. So, like, that could be the Pacers. That could be the Colts. That could be the – that was it.
It wasn't to see Rod Tidwell because Rod Tidwell had already played the Colts at that point, and he was an NFC team. So, therefore, he would definitely not been playing the Colts twice in 1 year. And so it wasn't the playoffs yet.
He was going to a college more than likely, don't you think?
No, it was around Christmas time. He's definitely going – oh, well, yeah, he was – he could have been going to. Well, he had no other. Right, clients, you're right. So it was definitely a, well, it could have been a high school. This is pre one and done rule.
It was pre, yeah.
So he was going to Glenn Robinson's basketball game.
You know what? He was going to.
Wait, 96. Is that pre? Is that's too early for? That's too late for Glenn Robinson. And 96, where would he have been going?
Terre Haute North for the guy that played it, Anthony Thompson.
That's too late. He was like an 80s guy, wasn't he?
I don't know.
Terre Haute South, the guy that played in the NBA.
Greg Oden?
No. There's a guy, okay. He was flying into Indy, going to Terre Haute South.
That's my headcanon now.
See, when now there's the guy from Terre Haute South that's way more recent, named Craig Porter, that plays for the Cavaliers.
Oh, yeah.
Which is just wild to me that I had no idea he existed till I found out that Terre Haute had a guy.
Right? There's a guy from Terre Haute that plays for the Cavs?
Yes, Craig Porter Jr. He went to Terre Haute South. He played like, yeah, okay. Brian Evans.
Brian Fellows?
No, Brian Evans.
Oh.
God, he made the NBA in 1996. Totally, I nailed it. I nailed it, Dyer. He was a first-round pick in 1996.
All right, you nailed it.
Did I nail it?
I think
did I not nail it? Yeah. Represented by Jerry Maguire. It says right here on Wikipedia.
Oh, okay, then, yeah.
Yeah, he went to IU. From 92 to 96. Oh, so I'm wrong. I'm definitely wrong. Eh? He could have still been seeing him. He could have been going to Bloomington.
Right, exactly.
Yes, exactly. The moral of the story is I am right. And yes, we went down a tangent that nobody cares about except for one person who is not going to listen to this podcast.
Absolutely not.
Not a chance. Anywho, what haven't we talked? We haven't talked about Rod Tidwell at all. Rod Tidwell makes this movie.
He does.
There's a bromance. I wish there was more bromance. I wish there was more. I want a movie where it's just an earnest. I like the rom-com. I love a good rom-com. They're fun. They're movies that you can enjoy and your wife will cry. And you might get, some loving.
Nope.
You might. One could hope. One could hope. But anyway, I wish we got a movie that just was Tom Cruise portraying a sports agent and focus more on the interworkings of being a sports agent. Because there's like one scene that is contract negotiation. That's it. And the whole like B plot of Rod Tidwell. This is a romance rom-com first and then a sports movie second, which is what it was trying to be. But could you imagine the more like the antics you would get with Rod Tidwell with contract negotiations and holding out and going through because he's like, I'm not going to training camp. If right. I don't have a new contract by training camp, I'm not showing up. More Tom Cruise walking through a naked locker room.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, so here's the Cruiserverse.
Before you get that, does the name Anthony Faison mean anything to you?
Yeah,
I think it's Anthony.
Donald Faison.
Donald Faison. Why did I say Anthony?
I don't know. But yeah,
Donald Faison.
Turk yeah. from Scrubs.
Does Cuba Gooding Jr. not look like Turk from Scrubs in this movie?
He does look like Turk from Scrubs.
In my mind, it was Turk. And then I rewatched it. I'm like, of course it's not Turk. He would have been like 10.
Sir, do you think my name is Turkleton?
Yes, I do.
So when Jerry and Rod are leaving the game in Philadelphia, right? And they're walking in the parking lot.
Yeah.
Rod goes, I want the truth, and Jerry says you can't.
Oh my God! How did I miss this? Yes, yeah, because he wants to know if he's actually his If he was his friend, is that what it was? Okay.
Yeah, or something like that.
I watched this two nights ago. You would have thought I watched it.
He goes, I want the truth. And Jerry goes, you can't handle the truth.
Yeah. Because they were like having a bromance up until then.
Right.
Because he's all pissed because he had a bad game, basically.
Right. Yes. Exactly.
But like, think about the movie. If it focused on like the day, the week to week of like the NFL season and him trying to get contact and him trying to do these like local car commercials. And he's like, I'm not riding the camel. I'm not getting on the camel.
Yeah.
Like it'd be gold. Like a buddy cop movie. But instead of doing cop things, they're doing sports agent things. The antics dire. It would be a comedy. It'd be great.
No, absolutely.
Imagine like the writing of Semi-Pro, but it being Jerry Maguire and Rod Tidwell instead of Monix and Jackie Moon.
I wish you were still watching.
Oh my God. Oh my God. Oh my God. Dire.
What?
Semi-Pro 2, Jerry Maguire plays a sports agent and is trying to get Jackie Moon a deal with an actual NBA team.
Let's do it. Let's do it.
We need Jerry Maguire too, and we call it Jerry Maguire
squared.
I don't know how you come up. You need a name. Oh my God! If Jerry Maguire was set in the 70s in the ABA/NBA merger era,
maybe it's Jerry's dad played by Tom Cruise.
Yeah, because there's no mention of his family.
No.
And we don't know how he got into being an agent.
No. Also
sold. I'm
also
sold.
Is this the most like, hey, I like you and your
better
kid.
Idea. Better idea. Better
I don't
idea.
Want you to leave me. Let's get married. Like that. Whoa. You haven't even slept with her yet, man. And like you automatically want to marry her.
That was the second time that's come up. Because who else did that in a movie we just watched? Oh, Interview with a Vampire. Like, you can't leave me, I'm pregnant. It's that it's that whole trope. You can't leave me, I love your son. We can't separate. I love your son.
But yeah, you can.
Yeah. And he's a sports agent. He can live wherever the hell he wants.
Yeah.
Why was she moving to he could move to San Diego. They had no reason to live there anymore.
Do you remember when
That's Remember a huge when, plot. That is a huge plot hole. She was moving to San Diego for work.
Right.
He has no source of income. He has one client that's holding out.
Right.
So I'm guessing he's getting like 10% of his existing contract. So he's probably making. Okay. So if he wanted to like hold out for a big deal, so he's on his rookie deal. So he's probably making like $1 million a year. So he's living off of like 10% of that. So he's living off of $100,000, which isn't a lot in L.A.
Not in L.A., but here in Indiana, that would be a lot.
But my point is, especially in 96. But the thing is, like, he's making okay money, but it's like coming to an end.
Right.
There's no reason why they don't just like, why he doesn't just follow them to San Diego. He has no reason to still, that is a huge plot hole to me.
Yeah, he could
still. Because he travels for work anyway.
He could still do a sports agent gig from San Diego.
Yeah, there's no reason why he needed to be in L.A. His client played for the Cardinals.
Right.
Okay. I got that off my chest. That was bothering me because it was just for drama's sake. See what I mean? Like, I feel like the rom-com was like, it's a good movie and the rom-com does have good elements. And, the Did You Know off and the car is epic on the exit on the way to the airport.
Mm-hmm.
Did you know my neighbor has, is it three rabbits or is it two? We'll just say three. Did you know my neighbor has three rabbits? And the response by Jerry is, you can't compete with that.
Can't. You just can't.
You can't.
Did you know the human head weighs 8 pounds?
8 pounds?
8 pounds.
Did you know that he eventually grows up to have a brother that's a freaking mouse?
Yeah.
You know who I always get, like, in my head, I get them confused, and I know there's no reason why I should. This is not related. This is related to Stuart Little. So Stuart Little is portrayed by Spin City himself.
Michael J. Fox.
Michael J. Fox.
Right.
And then the Ferris Bueller.
Okay. Matthew Broderick.
Matthew Broderick. I get those two confused all the time. Is that weird?
Yeah, a little bit.
Like, in my head, they're the same. Like, I always struggle to be like, which one's which? And I know that I shouldn't. But
I used to get Bill Pullman and Bill Paxton.
Oh, I still do.
Well, Bill Paxton's dead, so.
One of them is in Aliens, and it's Bill Paxton?
That's Bill Paxton.
And Pullman is in Twister.
No. That's Bill Paxton, I think, still.
Okay.
Bill but they're Pullman, both dead. No, Bill Pullman's alive. Bill Pullman was the president on Independence Day.
Oh, they're not even. Yeah. Okay. But I guess Michael J. Fox, I guess it's the, like, you've got Ferris Bueller and then you got.
That's like Bryan Adams and Don Henley. I get those two confused all the time.
Well, see, with mine, it's like you've got Back to the Future and you got Arrested Development. What the hell am I saying? You've got Back to the Future and you've got Ferris Bueller, and they're both, like, you know, the cool kid.
Right.
So I struggle. But no, me and a fellow coworker were talking about the 1998 Godzilla film today.
Gotcha.
And that's how Michael J. God, there I just did. That's how Matthew Broderick came up. See what I mean? It just comes out, and I know it's wrong.
Yeah.
But I have to stop and think every time. And even when I do, I mess it up. Yeah, Jerry Maguire, a film that was fun. You got the air dry. I remember as a child, we got this on tape. And we all watched it as a family, which this is not a movie you should watch. I would have been like 7 or 8 at the time we watched this. It's technically rated R, which I don't remember how.
Yeah, I don't know either.
Was there nudity in the... Yeah, there's nudity with there's some raunchy sex scenes with him and his fiance. Right? She's topless in that scene, right? Where she's like...
Yeah.
Yeah, that must be it. I don't remember that scene as a kid. That probably means I was asked to leave the room for a moment.
Yeah, absolutely.
Or I was a kid and I had already lost interest and was waiting for the football bits.
You know what was funny?
I was probably playing with Ninja Turtles or Power Rangers.
In GoldenEye, when Ivana Homsalot comes into the sauna scene, my parents made me cover my eyes during that scene.
Yeah, I get it. I get it. But no, I remember my mom thinking Rod Tidwell was hilarious, which he is. But I remember my mom thinking the you need a towel? No, I air dry. I remember my mom thinking that was the funniest thing ever.
I can see your mom laughing at that, honestly.
Like, it's not that funny. It's funny, but it's not that funny.
You know what? I bet your mom thought of Rod Tidwell that night.
Oh, God. Why do you have to say that?
Just to put that
I thought here. I thought of Rod Tidwell last night.
Of course you did.
But, man, who knew Rod Tidwell was going to grow up to be such a giant jackass and play War Machine and Snow Dogs?
What? He didn't play War Machine.
Yeah, he did.
No.
Cuba Gooding Jr.
No, it was Don Cheadle and Terrence Howard.
Why do I get Terrence Howard and Cuba Gooding Jr. always confused?
I don't know.
I have a problem.
Yeah, you do.
I connect. What is? Wait a second. Cuba Gooding Jr. Snow Dog, right? Not Terrence Howard, correct? Please tell me I'm right on that. Okay, so maybe I'm not as damaged as I think I am. What else was Cuba Gooding Jr. in? Let's see what he's known for. Men of Honor, Radio, Outbreak. Okay, he's known for a lot of things that I don't. Okay, man, Cuba Gooding Jr. is not really like that. Well, he's not in as much as I thought he was. I really don't know how to process this.
Yeah, you should probably just go to bed.
He was in Pearl Harbor. He was in Rat Race. Okay, I don't know. I don't know, Dyer. I don't know. There's problems with me.
Yeah, I can tell. There
are problems with my recollection. Anyway, do you have anything else to say about the
No, not really.
Okay, that's the show tonight. Bye.
Okay, bye.
Okay, bye. No, we need to rank this son of a gun. Would you like to know where we currently stand? I bet you would. You would. You'd like that, wouldn't you?
I would like it.
Yeah, okay, I'll give it to you. All right, maybe. Hold on. Hold on, folks. I'm getting to it. The unfortunate thing here is our host decided to make us use a different change our thing from Anchor podcast to Spotify podcasts, and the website's slightly different now.
You know, honestly, what we did is we asked about Xenu, and we shouldn't have last week, but we did, and now okay, we have
so
to
this
use
is episode,
a different podcast.
This is episode 20. Which means really, this is 20? The 20th film. Yeah, only okay. 20. That's a lot of movies. When you think about 20 DVDs stacked up, that's going to take you a while to get through.
Yeah, right. But like you can watch, what, two or three a night, maybe? Two?
Yeah, but God, Legend, you would need like 5 days to like just recover. or the problem is you'd watch Days of Thunder on repeat for like 3 days straight to do a palate cleanse.
You just melt the DVD in the
or
player.
Just go to, or honestly, you just go to YouTube and watch the Tom Cruise running montage on repeat.
Yeah.
Oh, unibrow. It's gone. No more unibrow ever.
Yeah, absolutely.
Center tooth's taking over.
Yeah.
Center tooth is definitely starting to take over here.
Oh, we didn't say the iconic line. So real quick.
You had me at hello.
They finally get there and like he walks back into when all the hens are clucking about their ex-husbands and dead husbands. And he goes, excuse me, I have to talk to my wife. And then they keep talking and he goes, you know, I love it when you do this. And she says, stop talking. And then he goes, she says, you had me at hello. I was like,
does he say hello when he gets in the room? Is say hello?
I think he does. I think he does.
Because if he doesn't, then that line's a crock of shit. I had that thought.
All the whatnot.
So
that's what everyone knows from this movie. Show me the money, and you had me at hello.
Show me the money.
Show me the money.
And he runs. He runs he so does. Fast. He runs Tom Cruise Mission Impossible style.
I will say.
With the pumping arms through the football tunnel.
I will say.
When Rod Tidwell gets
almost
concussed.
Dead.
Yes.
I will say, like, the final scene where Rod gets, like, the news of his contract extension. That was kind of touching, honestly.
Yes.
Like, I really like that scene.
I just like the just the post game of the Monday Night Football game where he just does
Troy Aikman, right?
Yeah. Well, Troy Aikman's the end of the scene, the when he gets the contract.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, but Troy Aikman's there and yeah.
No. It was good. Troy Aikman was definitely in the film and the football was actually well done. Like it was well done.
Was.
I don't know how they did it exactly, but they obviously interstitched Tidwell with actual game footage, but it was I was impressed. Anyway, okay, let's rank this son of a gun. 19, definitely better than that is Legend. Then 18 is That's Endless. Oh
yeah.
God, we might have, this might be only 19. I just noticed an error in last week's episode notes. So we'll say 18 is Legend, 19 is Endless Love. For some reason it got formatted as there's a movie called Endless and a movie called Love. I would watch a Tom Cruise movie called Endless. Love I'd only watch for this podcast.
Exactly.
And the movie Collaterals definitely could be called Endless.
True.
Because he just goes on a killing spree. Spoilers. All right. So 18 Legend, 17 is Endless Love. 16 is The Outsiders. 15 is Taps. 14 is All the Right Moves, another football film. 13 is Losing It. 12 is The Color of Money. 11 is The Depressing and Never Gonna Watch Again, Born on the 4th of July.
Yep.
But you should watch it. 10 is Penis. 10 is...
Yes!
10 is Interview with the Vampire. I'm still never going to get over that title being Interview with the Vampire.
Right.
Not a vampire. 9 is Cocktail. Terrible third act. 8 is Far and Away. Just probably the most dark horse of dark horses. The fact that's in the top 10. 7 is The Firm. We've already spoken about that, but you know, you got to watch out for the whatnot. 6 is Rain Man. I don't feel like that I should make a joke about the movie Rain Man.
No, you definitely should not.
5 is Days of Thunder. Streamlined Butterfly. 4 is Possible. 3 is Risky Business. Looks like it's the University of Illinois for me. 2 is A Few Good Men. You Can't Handle the Truth. That Top Gun is number 1. All right. Jerry Maguire. It's Maguire, not Mac.
M-A-G. Right. Maguire.
Maguire, right. Not McGuire. Not a home run hitter, but a mag. Whatever that right. is. All right, so let's go. I think we're definitely in the top 15. Agreed. Number 10 is Interview with the Vampire. It's better than that, but they're very different films. If you want more action, Interview with the Vampire is the thing. But if you're just wanting a fun film, it's this. And obviously, this is definitely better than Interview with the Vampire. Agree?
Agreed.
Okay, you hesitated. All right, 5 is Days of Thunder.
Ooh.
5 is Days of Thunder. Do you feel like it's better than that? Do you want to flirt with better than that?
Because
4 is Mission Impossible.
I really like Days of Thunder, though.
Yeah.
It's got everything. Days of Thunder has everything for me. He says, I wanted to drive in Indianapolis, but my name's not Andretti, and, you know.
No, it's better. It's a better film. I would much, if these are next to each other on the shelf, I'm picking it Days of Thunder.
So are we going to put it under Days of Thunder?
I mean, I think on the count of, so I'll do the top 10 for you.
Okay.
Top Gun, A Few Good Men, Risky Business, 4 is Mission Impossible, Days of Thunder, 6 is Rain Man, 7 is The Firm, whatnot. 8 is Far and Away, 9 is Cocktail, 10 is Interview with the Vampire.
Oh, okay.
I think we should do something, because I think we're very far apart. On the count of 10, no, I'm just kidding. On the count of 3, say the number. Do you need me to read through it again?
No.
All right. 1, 2, 3. 11.
10.
Oh. Okay, so we're not far apart.
No.
I thought you were going to say like 6.
No, okay. I think this is... So if it's between Interview with the Vampire and
I don't Jerry want it Maguire, above... You're watching Jerry Maguire.
I'm picking up Jerry Maguire.
I did kind of just say I'd watch Interview with the Vampire, or that I'd watch this over that, but I could definitely see myself in a mood for just...
A rom-com?
No. I like, I could vampires? See myself wanting some vampires, but that being said, I'm happy with it at 10. I think it's an iconic film. It definitely means more in his career than Interview with the Vampire, and agreed. It isn't better than Cocktail. God no. damn, that film flipping.
It's so Cocktail. Good, except for the third act.
The third act. We've go back to listen to that episode, but it definitely has an awful, awful third act.
Yes. If it wasn't for that third act, it'd be higher.
Yeah. So it kind of has the same problem as this film, where if like I think it'd be better. Like, yes, the rom-com was good, and it was obviously like something in change of pace wise for Tom that was good for his career. But looking back, a sports agent film with that was kind of like a buddy cop film style format,
right,
would have been better. Unfortunately, that's not what we got. Cocktail, if we just got a buddy bartending movie, would have been better, but that's not what we got. So I think these are good to be 9 and 10. And Cocktail, I honestly, Cocktail's more fun.
Agreed.
Thanks to the limericks.
Yeah.
But the pregnant lady and Buddy's kid killing himself, kind of a downer. It just, that film does a complete 180. It goes awesome, 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 and then they just laugh at you and point.
They're all going to laugh at you.
They're all going to laugh at you. All right. Well, this has been Cruising Through Cinema. Be a friend, tell a friend, leave us a 5-star review. Leave us a message on Spotify. You can do a voice message. Did you know that, Dyer? They can do that.
Yeah. Yeah. And we'll play it.
Yeah. We'll play it. We've done it before. Not on Cruising Through Cinema, but on our old, this is a spiritual successor to Bargain Bin Anime, which is actually in this feed.
It is.
You can go listen to our review of Wicked City.
Oh, Wicked City.
All right. Well, this has been Cruising Through Cinema. Until next week, did you know that the human head weighs 8 pounds?
My neighbors got 2 rabbits.